Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor Langford. We'd like to welcome you today. We greet you in Christ's holy name. I trust today that His Word has found a place of residence in your heart, in your life, that you have been strengthened, you've been touched by His presence today. Just the mere power that is in His Word has the ability to touch us, minister to us, edify, and strengthen us. Thus, the psalmist, so many psalms, talks about the Word of God. One of my favorite psalms is Psalms 89:34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that have gone forth from my lips. God is bound by His Word. Psalms 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. God cannot alter. God cannot change His Word. Isn't it great to know that God has such integrity? He Himself is bound by His own Word. If you like your health care, you like your doctor, you can keep it. Isn't it great to know that there's somebody that keeps their word, that neither slumbers nor sleeps, but keeps their word? Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? God does not lie. Tragically, sadly, we are lied to every day by people who say they're our leaders and they care for us. They want to lead us. Well, they want to lead us, all right, down a path of chaos and of utter destruction. But that's why I thank God for the grace of God that appeared to me one day. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Christ Jesus. The grace of God has appeared unto all men. Even Barack Hussein Obama, the grace of God has appeared to him. All men. All men. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. I believe that with all of my heart. I know it was true with me. For had not it been for the grace of God, I, like many of you today, would not be here. But because of His grace, great grace, great grace, my God, how great is His grace, I too am here today. I want to play an old song again today by Fred Johnson. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble plea. Hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, please do not pass me by. You know, He would have passed by them that night on the water. The scripture says in one of the gospels, and He would have passed them by, but they cried out. I want to be crying out to God until He returns in His power and in His kingdom. Amen. Certainly, we should be crying out to him daily, Lord, don't pass me by. Mark 6:48. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. And they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. It is so easy to forget what God has done for you in times past. When things begin to become arduous and difficult, we fall back into that spirit of carnality and we question God, where are you? Why are you allowing this, etc., etc.? Why, God? It's because we allow our hearts to be hardened. Don't do that. Don't do that. As I was ministering the Word of God yesterday, I praise God for discernment, for the right things. But if you will remember yesterday, as I was ministering, preaching the Word of the Lord, I made a statement. I said, I discern in my spirit. Some of you are saying, is this man for real? Is this man for real? I got an email today. Awesome message last night. God knows what we must hear. And yes, I flat out said to my husband, this man better be for real. Yep, I consider myself to be like the Berean people in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 11. My time is precious. When it comes to the Word of God, this is most definitely serious times we live in. So it's only right to be testing everything we hear, read, and even see. Eternity is forever. And as a child of God, we care to follow him in obedience. Amen. We see you are out for the same goal, and that's Jesus Christ. That's it. The true worshipers, you shall know them by their fruit. Staying keen. Enthusiasm, eager for Christ Jesus. Time to stay very alert and tuned into the Holy Spirit. We look forward to tonight's message. Susie and Tom Watkins. You see, even though there are not many of us left, God told Elijah, son, I've got 7,000 that's never bowed a knee to Baal. Don't ever think you're the only one. I don't think that as a preacher. I'm not the only one. I know that. There are idiots out there that say they are the only one, but they are idiots, and I don't mind saying they're idiots because they are idiots. They're not the only one. Elijah said, I'm the only one left. That was an idiotic statement. And God rebuked him. He said, son, I've got 7,000 that have never bowed a knee to Baal. So when you hear preachers giving such great self-accolades that I'm the only one, that's just mere arrogance. We are the only ones that have the message. No. Started out with 12 apostles. They all had the message. And like in the days of Paul the Apostle, 2 Timothy 4:9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas abandoned the gospel. He abandoned the faith. And men will do that till Christ returns. They will abandon God. They will abandon the faith because they're not sold out and remain sold out. You see, you can be sold out today and you can compromise tomorrow. I understand that. I've witnessed it with my own peers. Witnessed it with my own peers in my own denomination when I was in the Church of God. I've had to go to some of them and tell them, you're in sin. You better stop it. Some took heed. Some didn't. One of my friends even ended up in penitentiary, federal prison, a pastor. But he got into money problems. So you can be sold out today. You can be compromised tomorrow if you don't abide in the Word of God daily. I want to go back and pick up from yesterday's passage of scripture and text and try to finish up. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And I want to pick it back up with the thought, vessels of honor. Vessels of honor, men and women alike, who have godly, pristine character and spiritual dignity in their lives. Regretfully, the world has found a place of residence in the church today. And thus, the world is now conforming the church rather than the church conforming the world. The church is not changing the world, but the world is changing the church. Satan is changing the church. He's brought in every false doctrine, every lewd, vile, filthy, vulgar, debased, demented, twisted ideology, theology, psychology, sociology. He's brought all of this garbage into the house of God, and men have suffered that because they have failed to preach the Word of God. The Word of God does not allow, the Word of God does not suffer, the Word of God does not tolerate certain things. Jesus said to his disciples before he left them, I will make you fishers of men, not money changers. I want to say that again. He did not tell them, I will make you eloquent in speech. I will make you debonair. I will make you money changers. But rather, he said, I will make you fishers of men. Regretfully, ministers no longer care about the souls of men. All the hucksters and charlatans today are seeking your money for their fame and for their fortune. And they could care less about you. People are amazed that I take the time to write a little note on the thank you letter for an offering that they send to this ministry. We're small. God has kept us small so that we can truly shepherd the flock. I don't know that God is within a million miles of mega churches. That's why he gave them pastors to pastor and to know the flock. When the one leaves the fold, the pastor recognizes that and he goes and he leaves the 99 and he goes for the one. How do you know that when your church is 10,000? And I'm reluctant, I'm careful to call or to drop a note in the mail when I don't hear from people because I don't want them to think I'm calling them or writing them a letter because I didn't get an offering this month. But as a pastor, as a shepherd, I care. And when I don't hear from you, I'm concerned about you. And I'm very cautious and very judicious. I told a brother the other day, don't think I'm calling you because you haven't sent anything. I want to make sure you're holding on, Brother Harold Hughes. But I just want to make sure he doesn't fall through the cracks and go back like Demas. Paul said, having forsaken me, having loved this present world, it matters to me. Now, I know these mega churches and mega ministries don't have a clue who you are. But see, I think a pastor, a shepherd, ought to know the sheep. It's been amazing since we resigned the pastorate 3 years ago this July, how many letters, how many phone calls of people say, now they're ready to move to this area, relocate and come to the church. But that was never God's plan, obviously, because I'm doing far more greater work and reaching people through media ministry than pastoring a local church. Just because I'm not pastoring a church on Sunday morning does not negate my prayer life, my fasting, my Bible reading, my seeking of God either. I am what I am by the grace of God. But regretfully and sad to say, the church has prostituted its relationship with God and brought the things of the world into the body of Christ. Now we have a plethora of confusion about what is right and what is wrong. And let me say this again. The Word of God will not tolerate certain things. Presbyterians, you better get out of your harlot church who just embraced same-sex marriage. You better get out. You better get out now. Methodist, Episcopalians, you've been dabbling with that for years. You need to get out. Because the true church is going into the wilderness, and God is going to prepare a table in the wilderness, and God is going to feed his people in the wilderness. There's been too much conforming to the world. Churches are now on life support, system. Denominations are on life support system. Oh, I know you got your big mega churches. They're taking in millions of dollars. Satan doesn't care. Because they're not preaching repentance and people aren't getting saved. They're just going to a social club, a social event. As I said yesterday, you'd think I would have a large following because I preach such pure word and such or much Bible. But we don't. Because the Word of God and being a disciple of Jesus Christ places a high demand upon your life and a great commitment. And people today aren't willing to pay that price. And that's why Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind must continually be renewed by two things, by the Holy Ghost and by the Word of God. I mean, I live in the Bible. I read the Bible, I study the Bible, I research the Scriptures day after day after day after day. I don't say that arrogantly or anything of that nature. I'm just saying I've got to keep my mind being renewed lest I become conformed to the world. The world and the church are supposed to be separate. They are to be completely separated one from the other. Not anymore. The world has come into the church, sat down on the pew, made a place of residence, and now it's even in the leadership, in the hierarchical structure of all denominations. Who would have ever thought the church would be debating same-sex marriage? Oh, but Brother Langford, they love each other. No, they don't. That's what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3. He said there would be a loss of natural affection. There would be an absolute loss of natural affection. For this cause, what cause? This cause of loss of natural affection, Romans 1 and 26, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, filthy affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. It's just to get AIDS when you get out here and you sodomize one another. That's your reward. That's your recompense. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What is a reprobate mind? It's a mind that's void of judgment. Their judgment is so skewed, they don't understand it's wrong. It's wrong. You have Supreme Court justices up there performing same-sex marriage, and they adjudicate laws for you and I every day in America. They don't know their left hand from their right hand, and yet they adjudicate law. You better understand Romans 13. It's the law to murder babies, but it's against the law of God. There's a lot of things the land says is okay to do, but God's word says, no, that's not right. So we've compromised, and thus we've compromised, and we've been conformed to the world when we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:23, Paul said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind must be quickened by the Word of God. It must be quickened by the Holy Ghost. to convict you. When your mind in perpetuity can continue to be transformed and be renewed, then you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Homosexuals say, well, this is the will of God. I say it's against the will of God because your mind is conformed to the God of this world and not the God of Abraham. Oh, Satan is sly. So cunning, so subtle, so crafty. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They don't want the light to shine in their path. John 3:19, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I'm not even supposed to have fellowship with these people. Verse 12, Ephesians 5 and 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's a disgrace for a church, a denomination, a pastor, a preacher, to have to even think about debating same-sex marriage. By the way, the court, Supreme Court today is adjudicating the matter. Ginsburg and Hagen both have already performed same-sex marriages. You think that's a conflict of interest? Unless you have the Word of God, unless you have the Spirit of God, you cannot prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Years ago, I'll never forget the revelation, the understanding that God gave me about His will. You know, everybody has things they want. Well, I want this, and I want that. I told my son Wesley when he was a little boy, I said, son, I should have named you Want. Because every time you see something, you say, Daddy, I want this, I want that. I should have named you I Want. But I'll never forget when God gave me the revelation, God gave me the understanding, the Psalms 37, verses 4 and 5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That sounds like whatever our heart's desire is, well, God will just give it to us. Is that what the Scripture is saying? No. No. The Scripture says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And what God showed me as I spend time in His presence, as I spend time in His presence and I become conformed to Him and to His image and to His likeness, my heart's desire becomes conformed to His will, and thus He gives me my heart's desire. Because David's desire has now diminished and waned and wafted away, and now God's will, God's desire, God's perfect plan for my life is coming to fruition and not that which I wanted. Why do you think the psalmist in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because he is delighting himself in God, in God's word. He's not being conformed to the world. He's being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We quote Romans 8:28, but we need to add verse 29. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. All things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, because whatever's taking place in our lives according to his will, according to his purpose, is conforming us to the image of his Son. Boy, that's good preaching. Boy, that's good preaching. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires, plurality, of thine heart. But what happens as you pray, as you fast, as you consecrate, as you dedicate, as you separate your life unto Jesus Christ, your heart is being conformed to his plan, his will, and his purpose for your life. There's no doubt in my mind what I'm doing is the will of God. There's just no reservation, there's no question, there's no doubt. None. I was called, I was born, I was chosen to be a preacher. I had nothing to do with that part. But now in obedience, I have a lot to do with that calling. And I choose to obey. I choose to obey. See, the church today is nothing more than trickery and showmanship. That's all that's in the house of God today. It's smoke and mirrors. Ministers have denied the Lord his rightful place in the house of God. They've denied the preaching of the Word of God. They've denied the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Where is God in the church today? Revelation 3. What does he say to the church at Laodicea? Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice, I mean, he said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And to all my Jesus-only friends, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus has a throne and the Father has a throne. Or either he lied to us here in Revelation 3:21. He stands at the door and he knocks. Why is he knocking? Because the church has pushed him to the outside. We don't like the straight and narrow path, Lord. We don't like these disciplines. We don't like these demands that you place on us, these tenets, the doctrines, the dogma that you have placed, Lord. We want to make the way broad, Lord. Open it up. Make it just a little wider, will you, Lord? God never will widen it. He said it was straight. He said it was narrow. And he said, few there be that find it. He said in Matthew 7:21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Paul said, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Perfect will of God. God's will is perfect. Praise God, it's perfect. Now, in your carnal mind, in your carnal state, you won't see it as being perfect. That's what is so profound about Joseph. In all of his dilemmas, in all of his crises, all of his upsettings, we never see Joseph bickering, grumbling, murmuring, and complaining, do we? No, we don't. Even Paul and Silas, midnight. They're praying. They're singing. They're worshiping God. Are you praying? Are you worshiping? Are you singing to God when things are against you? Or are you murmuring? Let me tell you something about cross-bearing. It's difficult. It's tough. It ain't easy. Some smart aleck emailed me the other day, and I had the courtesy to email him back. He's got a bone to pick because of the cross. We're making idols out of the cross. And I emailed and I said, you're right, we should not make an idol out of the cross. It's what the cross typifies. It's what the cross symbolizes. It's what the cross means: redemption, forgiveness, justification. And I gave him Matthew 10:37-39. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He emailed me back and said, don't be so condescending. Condescending? I'll tell you what Jesus said, Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's what the cross symbolizes. I've never carried a cross on my back. But see, those are idiots who strain at a gnat and they'll swallow a whole stinking camel. They'll choke on a gnat, but they'll gobble a camel with 27 humps on his back. I mean, I get it coming, I get it going. Another smart aleck pointed out in Genesis 16:3 that Sarah gave Hagar to wife Abraham. Well, it was not a wife in the sense of a wife that Sarah was to Abraham, because not only that, she was a concubine. She was a bond slave, Paul said in Galatians 3. She was a slave, not a wife. But you can't preach the truth today without getting castigated, encroached, impinged by somebody who thinks they're so intelligent. Matter of fact, I had another guy the other day told me how big his IQ was, how great his IQ was. Wow. Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. I'm glad he's got a greater IQ than me. But see, the spiritual things of God are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Busting my chops because I don't practice the Sabbath. I don't preach the Sabbath. I don't preach against shrimp and oysters and pork. That's Old Testament. That's old law. Why is it then when we come to the New Testament, we can't have multiple wives? I mean, if you're going to live under the old law, let's just do it all. But 1 Corinthians 7:2 says, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband, singular. But you see, the arrogancy is because they're not being renewed in their mind by the entirety of the Word of God. We believe in the whole Bible rightly divided. Paul told us in Philippians 3, as touching the law, he said, I was a Pharisee, circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Hebrew of Hebrews. But I suffered the loss of all those things and count them but dung that I might know Jesus. In other words, all of those things was just fertilizer to help me grow. That's all it was. Schoolmaster. That's what Paul called the law. Schoolmaster. Till we came to the knowledge of Jesus. You see, the world is full of religious people. They know nothing about the Spirit of God. They know nothing about the Word of God. Because the Bible is clear in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It may seem right, but it's not right. Because if you judge anything in the flesh, you're done messed up. You're already in error. You're already in error. You judge by the Spirit of God. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. You see, there are so many spirits out here, it's deafening, it's sickening to hear all these voices. All of these voices. And there is a plethora of voices out here in the world, and they all bear significance in your hearing. 1 Corinthians 14:10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. I don't care who you hear, what you hear, it will play a significance in your hearing. Why do you think I don't waste time listening to TV preachers? I don't want some silly, stupid, false doctrine even remotely having an opportunity to get into my spirit. We've got to understand, we have to stay and keep our minds continually being renewed. Why? So that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Which tells me there are some things that God is never going to accept. You want him to accept it. Preachers want him to accept it. Denominations want him to accept it. But he's not going to accept it. It's up to you to be renewed in your mind, not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the Word of God, by the Holy Ghost, so that what you are, God will accept. But some of this stuff, God ain't going to accept it. You see, this has been man's problem from day one. Let me give you the Old Testament synopsis quickly. Isaiah 1:10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me, saith the Lord? What's your purpose? I mean, what are you trying to get out of me? What's your purpose? Your sacrifice, saith the Lord. I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your meetings are iniquitous, he said. The Hebrew says, your meetings are nothing but grief to me. You go to church, it's grief to me. That's why he's telling the Hebrews. He's telling Israel when they come to the tabernacle. Your new moons, your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. Why? You've dishonored everything I gave you. And now today the church is doing the same thing. They're dishonoring God because they're being conformed to the world and not the image of Jesus Christ. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Some churches don't even pray. I had a guy tell me the other day, went to a church, there was never one prayer prayed the whole service. Not one prayer. Not one prayer from the opening to the closing. The pastor never prayed one prayer. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Come now, let us reason, saith the Lord. Paul said in verse 1 of Romans 12, which is your reasonable service. Isaiah said, thus saith the Lord, come now, let us reason together. Now let me tell you something about reasoning with God. You're not going to change God's mind. But God believes, and he knows if he can get you in his presence, and his Holy Spirit can engulf you, and you can humble yourself and prostrate yourself, you will come to the reasonable service of what God expects of your life. So when he said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, you're not going to change God's mind because he said your sins be as scarlet. In other words, if sin is red, buddy, it's red, 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 red. But they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. You see, this nation is rebelling. It's always been God's method to raise up another nation to attack another nation. God, you may not believe this, doesn't matter to me whether you do or not, it's the word of the Lord, but God is the one who has stirred up the Medo-Persian spirit. It's God who has allowed ISIS. God has allowed this to come to fruition. How do I know? Because the word of God tells me so in Jeremiah 51, verse 11. Make bright the arrows. Gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. Medes? Medo-Persian? Iran? Iraq? Medo-Persian, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it. Because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. We are to be the temple of God. We don't have an Old Testament temple that we go and worship in anymore, folks. You are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. So when you go to the house of God, you bring the Holy Ghost with you. He comes with you because you take him there. A Coliseum can be having a rock concert on Saturday night. But on Sunday morning, we can have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival service in the same building because we brought the Holy Ghost with us. What was used for the devil on Saturday night can be used for God on Sunday morning. Because we are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth within us. Jeremiah 51, verse 12. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. Prepare the ambushes. We're going to be ambushed. Simply means those who are lying in wait, just like Paul. They lie in wait to deceive. Just that's what he talked about preachers. In Ephesians 4, 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He said to Jeremiah, prepare the ambushes, those who lie in wait to ambush us, for the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars. He's filling this nation with pagans and heathens because of our borders. And I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. What do all Muslims shout before they kill you? Allah Akbar. Who's going to stir up the spirit of the Medes? God. Why? Because we are being conformed to the world. God does not bless sin. Never has, he never will. I don't know how we think we can live in perpetual sin and have the blessings of God. How preachers and politicians think they can lie week after week after week and still stand up there and sing, God bless America. Folks, the blessings are over with. The only blessing is going to be the blessing upon the righteous, those who've honored God. God said, I'll honor you. We've dishonored God in so many ways. We've become contemptible in the eyes of God. Our lifestyle, our arrogancy, our pride, everything about us is in opposition to God Almighty. When the Holy Ghost shows up, people bury their faces in the carpet. Like Isaiah, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm unclean. That's how you know God's not in these churches. They don't feel like that. When I was pastoring, these young kids would come to church and they'd tell my kids, man, I feel dirty. There's something wrong with me in here. My kids say, no, that's the Holy Ghost. You're just convicted of your sin. You feel the Spirit of God here in this church, and you're not used to feeling that at your church down the road where you've been going. You get in here where the Spirit of God is, and you feel uncomfortable because you got drunk last night, and you're fornicating. You're doing all sorts of ungodly things. But you go to your church, you don't feel like that. I want the Holy Ghost to deal with me and my sins. I don't want to die in sin. You die in sin, you die without God. I said you die in sin, you die without God. Christians, you're not sinners. That's what you were before you became a Christian. People say, well, we're all sinners saved by grace. I'm not a sinner no more. I'm a Christian. They were first called Christians at Antioch. They didn't call them sinners born again. They called them Christians. Why? Because they were no longer sinners and living in sin. There's a big difference. You see, words mean something. Words mean a whole lot. I respect people who keep and honor their word. That's why I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, Job said. His words are so weighty. His words are so heavy because his words are true. His words are gracious. God bless you. Have a great week. I'll be on the Hagman and Hagman Friday night. Steve Quell and I, we're going to be serving communion at the very beginning of the program. Get your juice and your wafer. We're going to have a great time in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll see you then.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. That's P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006.